Thank you very much, Dustin. Greg Hargrave is here. Heather Park is here. Jim Costa's in Banff. Still tweeting.
Is he still tweeting?
Yeah.
Is he trying to defend his...
No.
His the division's over, no. Guardians are buried?
No, I believe, because I commented... And you, of course, are John Jansen. I am Stoney.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Heather is here as also.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Yes. So, no Gov today. Right. He's off for exactly. The rest of the week.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody doing okay?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, doing great. What was the Dink tweeting?
Well,
that's going to stick. I'm no longer calling him cookies.
I should say, I think he retweeted something. And I got to find it. Brett McMurphy had a list of... the three non-conference games that all the SEC teams played.
Right. Well, they actually played four.
Right, but three of the off the all the three cupcakes.
Yeah.
Each team had. So yeah, at 10 hours ago, he tweeted, "He's right," retweeting.
Okay.
Murphy. Oh, there's another one today. Okay. Wow. He talked about listening to Caputo. Did you listen to Caputo Crosstalk last night?
No.
It was classic. That's all I got to say with Vellante. It was unbelievable.
Really?
Going off on another J.K. Simmons surprise appearance on the
Oh, he doesn't like having him on there?
It was funny as hell.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Jim did it. Look at this. He tweeted. Look, I've done that too when I'm on vacation.
I was going to say, he's pulling a Stoney.
I know.
You know, he can't be on vacation. Now, when we vacation, it doesn't mean we stop being sports fans.
Correct.
But I go full vacation mode, and I'll still watch the same things I would watch when I was here. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it annoys my wife a little bit, but I'm not a big social media user, but I'm not big on texting all of you guys or tweeting or trying to do what I do on a normal day when I'm on vacation.
Yeah. I mean, Jim's kind of a sports radio guy even when he's off the mic. Even when you talk to him in casual conversation, it does kind of sound like he's still running a radio show.
Well, it's like we're similar in one aspect. Like even on vacation, as you know, or even if I'm not on our air, I'll call other sports talk show hosts across the country.
I'll ask Max in Michigan. I'll have to ask if he's done that.
He probably hasn't done that. He's not as pathetic as I am.
Well, maybe not yet. There's still time for him to grow into your mold.
Yes, I'm twice his age. Yes, there's plenty of time.
Has Max made a call recently? Not even to MLB radio to talk about the Riley Green strikeouts ineffective bats and
not recently
the new roster that they need at the trade deadline.
But in August there will. I tried to get on NHL radio a couple weeks ago. Something.
Oh, okay. So you have.
But I tried. I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't
get through.
You didn't get through.
I didn't get through. So I've tried.
Oh, okay. So yes. I wonder if Max from Michigan has.
Well, I imagine in August when I make the drive by myself to the East Coast.
Right. Dropping your daughter off over there? Is she going to do NFL films again?
Yes. She's going to be, her and Cindy go first.
First, okay.
Although it depends because my vacation, I might go first. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you get yourself a nice long drive.
Yes, I do.
And your phone.
And there's nothing like driving. I don't love long drives, but if you're going to do them, better do I like them doing by myself.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah, nobody telling me what to listen to on the radio, where I can and can't stop for food.
Yes. I had that experience last weekend because I had to go back and forth a couple of times for an event that I had here, and I went back to Canton, and I was driving by myself, and I actually I thought the same thing. I'm like, this is glorious. And on the way back, it was only Jack with me, and he slept the entire way. I mean, this is amazing. I can put whatever I want on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
And if I don't like it in the middle of something, I can change it to something else. I don't have to answer, Dad, why'd you change the channel?
And when you drive long distance with hands-free phone, it's like you can catch up with a lot of people you're driving and time flies.
Yeah.
You make a
gas stop.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, 20 minutes later, somebody says, I got to go to the bathroom. What were you doing?
Right.
Well, I didn't have to go then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. All right.
We've avoided it.
We've avoided it enough. I avoided it last night, yesterday too, because I took a nap. I laid down around 12:30, whatever.
Yeah.
I woke up, and it was like 5-0 already.
Oh boy!
And I didn't bother watch. I didn't want to be more aggravated.
Mm.
And look, they lose 6-1. Cleveland won again last night. So the lead of the division is down to 8.
Oh, boy.
You want some numbers? I'll give you some numbers.
Okay.
Some are a little, you know, over-exaggerated to a certain extent as far as what they mean. But the magic number remains at 53.
I love it.
The tragic number, although some people might not think it's tragic, is 69 as far as what Cleveland and the Tigers.
Yes, that's never a tragedy.
Yes. The Tigers are now the third seed in the American League, which means the worst cliche of all time. But if the season ended today, they'd win the division, but they would be hosting the best of three. They wouldn't get the bye. I know people are sitting there, well, the Lions got a bye a loss, so maybe it's okay. Last year, they went and won 2 games in Houston. They would be hosting because it's all the home – the higher seed in the bye in that first round gets all the home games. So guess who they would be playing in the best of three?
Stoney, who's that?
A team that has some guy named Bregman.
Oh, boy. Boston's in it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they're not selling at the deadline?
I don't think so.
I don't think they're selling, and I don't think Cleveland is going to as well, because everybody's talking about, oh, well, Class A or Stephen Kwan. They're right there. And you already mentioned the number that they're behind, 8. And in terms of the wild card, they're only 2.5 back.
Right.
Of the wild card. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to be, and I didn't really think that they were going to be in sell mode anyway. I think it was a slow start for them down year, and obviously the Tigers were what they were at the beginning of the season, first half of the season. But
I thought, look, if they didn't get on this run, I think they would have, for the right deal, because their ownership is not wonderful. They would have been in the sell mode. I honestly believe that. Actually, yeah, right. Cleveland's 2.5 out of the wild card right now.
Right, and so I think it increases the seller's market, where if Class A is not going to be on the market and Aroldis Chapman is not going to be on the market because Boston's not selling. Now, all of a sudden, all the relievers, you start narrowing down the number of marketable relievers, number of marketable bats. That's what's driving the seller's market. And now it's going to be Scott Harris. Are you going to want to part with enough assets to bring in somebody that is going to make a difference?
And here's the question that I have in 248-539-9797. Because if you play the schedule game, so the games leading up to the deadline, a week from today, is the deadline.
Correct.
Okay? The Tigers have a 4-game series beginning tonight against the Toronto Blue Jays, who currently lead the American League East and are playing pretty good baseball.
Oh, yeah. They've been smoking hot for about 30 days now.
The Cleveland Guardians, they play the Orioles again today, who they've won the first 3, and then go to Kansas City. Next week, the Arizona Diamondbacks, a team obviously in sell mood, but they're not a bad team. They're 3 games under 500. They're only 5.5 out of the wild card. I imagine still they're going to sell.
Yeah.
And while the Tigers will be playing them, the Cleveland Guardians will be hosting the Colorado Rockies. So, and I'm not trying to be negative here, but I'm trying to be realistic that Cleveland 4-7... it's realistic that Cleveland goes 5-2 and the Tigers go maybe 3-4 in their next 7.
Yeah, and they'd lose another 2 games. And then instead of 8, you're at 6. And, I mean, I don't know, you kind of feel like right now with the way the Tigers are playing, that might be best case scenario. In the next 7 games for the Tigers?
Yeah. And so here's the other question. If you're Scott Harris and you see this team going the way it's going, do you even try to make an all-in move just to get in the playoffs? Because you might be sitting there realistically, like you, and maybe not so much you because you're more positive than I am, but me and other people are sitting there looking at the Tigers and say, yeah, I still think we're going to get in the playoffs. And I know once you get in, anything can happen. But are you willing to maybe sacrifice something for something that might not, that probably won't happen? If you're sitting there running this team, say, wait a second, can we win the, what's the chances of us winning it all? Maybe not so good anymore. So maybe his philosophy might change if they don't pick it up in the next week. I don't know.
I don't know. I think that's would be a pissed, little bit but, drastic,
yeah.
Knowing the way that this team played up until literally four games before the All-Star break.
I know.
This has been a downturn. And, I mean, the Dodgers, you know, as of a couple of days ago, they were 2-8 in their last 10. Now, when you have Shohei hitting a home run every day, that sure helps to pull you out of a slump. Mm-hmm. The issue is, who do we have at the plate that we have the confidence that's going to help pull us out of a slump? No, there's no Shohei. I'm not saying that. But you have to have your all-stars, Gleyber Torres, Zach McKinstry, Riley Green. Who is it that Javi Baez? Who's going to pull you out of this slump?
248-539-9797 is the telephone number. It was an awful series in Pittsburgh. It's been an awful time here as a Tiger fan since June 14th. We'll give you the bad numbers coming up next. I do want to mention later in the program, our first Greg Palm of the season as college football gets ready. Media day for Michigan and Michigan State is today. Yep. Two Grand Slam at 7:25. Dear John at 7:35. It's 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, what's up, Detroit? It's your girl, Heather, and I'm always looking for ways to stay on top of my game. And listen to this. You know how much I rely on my phone for everything. That's why I got to tell you about this insane deal from Verizon that'll help you be your best self, too. We're talking a low price on the best 5G in Detroit. Seriously, whether I'm blasting my favorite tracks on the morning commute or snagging those last-minute tickets for the hottest new flick, check this out. You can switch today and pay just $50 a month for a single line. You heard me right, $50 a month for the best 5G in Detroit when you bring your own phone on the unlimited welcome plan with autopay plus taxes and fees. That's a no-brainer, people. Visit your nearest Detroit Verizon store today to lock in these incredible deals. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Rankings based on Root Metrics Root Score Report dated 2H2024. Your results may vary. Additional terms apply.
And the Pirates win it 6-1, sweep the series. The Tigers host the Blue Jays. Four-game series beginning tonight right here on 97.1 The Ticket. Seven-game homestand as they take on Arizona next week right before the trading deadline. Cleveland won last night, so I think they're now, what, 10-2 since...
Since the burial?
Since the burial.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I know. You mentioned Costa tweeting. He texted me last night, and I'm like, dude, you're taking some bullets here. You're taking not strays. They're direct hits.
I know. I endorsed it, so it's not all him. I do want to point out something in this series that they lost. The Tigers were outscored, and this is a Pittsburgh Pirate team. It's not very good. They got outscored 17-6. They were out-hit 31-10. And here's the other thing. The starting pitching. Three games, the Tigers' starting pitchers combined for 12 innings. And the most was yesterday with Melton.
Yeah.
And I think it was more, okay, let's just see what he's got.
After yeah, it was see how he handles nothing. It. Yeah.
Yeah. And he pitched one good inning, three good innings. He did have seven strikeouts.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
What'd you think of him? Other than the grand slam.
Well, he put the problem with both home runs was he put them right in the middle heart of the plate.
Right.
But they hit the ball hard against him. Even the outs were, the velo was pretty high. So 12 innings because Mize went four and Flaherty went three. That ain't going to get it done. Here's some other numbers for you that I'm sure you Tiger fans would love. Since June 14th, 14 and 18, they're 1-9 since July 16th. In their last 10 games, they are batting 209 with a 595 OPS. In their previous 93,
yeah,
they hit 253 with a 751 OPS. I mean, look.
It's been a bad run.
It's been a bad run, and you bring up a great point. Who's going to get them out of it? We have a Twitter poll up right now, ladies and gentlemen, that we'd love for you to participate in. And it's very simple. How far will the Tigers advance this year? You have missed the playoffs, make the playoffs, reach the ALCS, or win the pennant.
Well, there should be another option, right?
That's not even in there. We can only do four.
What? Okay, right in.
Well, I guess you could.
Yeah, if you think they're going to win the World Series,
yes, you can.
I understand why it has been omitted.
And I'm going to make my vote now, and my vote's going to be make the playoffs. I'm still going to give them that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So.
You think the division's still locked up?
Well, if I was betting, I'd still say they'd win it. It's not going to be easy because I don't think Cleveland's going to keep up this pace. I don't think the Tigers are going to keep up their pace. But it's going to be, I think it's going to be closer than it is right now.
So we witnessed something very historic last year. And so we know the possibilities. Mm-hmm. But it was paired with Minnesota falling apart. Now this year, the Guardians would have to do basically the same thing, mm-hmm. but it would result in them, winning the division, and the Tigers would have to fall apart. I'm not sitting here saying the division's over. I'm not saying the division's locked up. I'm not making any bold predictions. I just don't think the Tigers, I don't think they're going to fall apart from where they were. You mentioned the 93 game mark. I think they're more like the first 93 than they are the last 10.
Right.
And so I think it's going to be okay. It's not going to be as grand as everybody originally was hoping or mm-hmm. thinking. But I do think it's going to be okay.
All right, some quick ticket text before we go to Heather with news. I'm going to start listening to the major networks now to listen to Dink from Detroit calling in. That's Neil in a car. He doesn't do it all. It's Max in Michigan. Yeah, John in Florida, guys. Hey, guys, if these next seven games go bad, the Tigers should try to get David Bednar from the Pirates to help the bullpen. Tigers should also see if they can get Skeens. Skeens wants out of Pittsburgh. Detroit would be a good fit. Think about Skeens and Scooble. Yeah, but you know.
Okay, we did that, I don't know, 2 months ago.
Yeah, and I don't think Pittsburgh's not giving them up right now.
No,
I don't think so.
No. And, I mean, whether things go good or bad in the next seven games,
they still need Bednar. Or somebody like that. Labor Day 2009, Tigers had an 8-game lead over the Twins. They had to play game 163 to decide the division, which we know they lost. Hopefully history isn't repeating itself. And finally, thank God Riley Green didn't ruin his swing in the home run derby. He just did it naturally. It's time for news, and here's Heather.
The Detroit People Mover is getting a little tune-up, you might have heard. One of its stops, which is along the riverfront, is going to be renamed, and riders are also going to be greeted by a new voice.
Oh.
Yes. So the West Riverfront stop, which is located on Civic Center Drive, kind of near where Joe Louis Arena used to be, will now be called the Water Square Station, which apparently is a nod to the upcoming luxury hotel that's going to be built there at that site. And then in addition to the new name, the People Mover will now have a new voice courtesy of a local radio host. Not Stoney.
No.
Lloyd Jackson.
Oh.
From AM 760.
Were you in a voice off?
No.
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 Did they call you? Contact you?
That would have been awesome to have Stoney.
I don't have the deep tones. I wish, by the way, they have like Ryan Woolley who used to work here.
Hold on. What? We might have slipped into something here. Can you imagine Stoney telling you which stop this is.
Wait, get out of your right. No, you're left.
No, you're left. Right. Wait, yeah. No, stay here. You're not, you shouldn't get off yet. Just keep riding. You'll come back. If you miss your stop, you'll be back here.
It'll be a ride. Go circle.
Next stop, Grand River, coming up to that Mac Avenue.
Yes. Your trail off.
My gosh. You guys, there was a devastating car crash in Farmington Hills that left a road worker dead and several others injured. The crash happened in a construction zone on Orchard Lake Road between 10 and 11 Mile on Wednesday morning. And according to police, a car was traveling southbound on Orchard Lake before crashing over the median and then striking three road workers on northbound Orchard Lake. And they say the road crew was doing everything they needed to do. They were parked legally. They had all the proper signage up. They were working on sewer repairs in the area. And one road worker was killed. Two others were injured. The driver that crashed was taken to the hospital. I'm not sure about the extent of their injuries, but the family of the worker who was killed identified him as a 43-year-old man named Cedric Jones, a father of six.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. Police are still working to learn what caused the crash. Detroit Lions fans are about to hear what Tigers fans have been enjoying all season long. Jason Benetti will be working with the Lions broadcast team for their preseason TV broadcast.
Oh, good.
So he'll be calling three games. He did release a statement saying that he's just really grateful for the opportunity and for the Tigers for letting him, kind of cross over and do these. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. They're also bringing on TJ Lang to serve as an analyst, and sideline reporter Danny Rogers will be filling out the broadcast team.
Well, I wonder which games J.K. Simmons is going to be doing the color for.
Yes.
Is he a Lions fan too?
I assume so.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to something funny, Caputo's crosstalk with Valeni and Rico yesterday when they were talking about the Tiger broadcast. It is hysterical.
Oh, I'll have to go back and listen. Yeah, there's a game I'm going to join. I'm not in the booth,
I'm
going to join them from home. We had the Costa cast last year. We're not doing that, but I am going to join them for 5 or 6 minutes of one of the quarters. So,
oh, nice.
Sweet.
Yeah, excited
to
do that with them. Yeah.
Yeah. I would be too. Three people, 2 9-year-old girls and a man, have been honored by Wixom police for saving a 4-year-old from drowning. I love the story when they're honored and they get this little diploma or certificate, right? But Wixom police say that the girls were at a hotel pool. An apartment swimming pool. They were swimming when they noticed this 4-year-old girl not moving in the water. One of these little girls jumped in, was able to get the 4-year-old to the surface. That's when the man jumped in, pulled the girl out, and performed CPR until she was breathing.
Oh boy.
And police say if they wouldn't all have acted so quickly, most likely this little girl probably wouldn't have made it. So good for them and good for knowing CPR.
Yes.
We've talked about this before. Everyone should know it. I've been through CPR training so many times.
Yeah.
However.
Are you not certified currently?
I am certified currently, I think. But I still, because if you don't use it all the time, you forget exactly what to do. Like, I feel like I need a refresher all of the time. Like, I wouldn't know if I'd.
A lot of the refreshers you can get online now.
Which I should do.
Right. No, I'm just saying it's an easy, if it's the breaths to compressions, all that stuff.
I
think it was 5-1 at one point, 15-2 at one time. Yeah.
I honestly am not sure.
Sounds like the Tigers this past 10 games.
Yeah. It's other way around, 2-15.
I know.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, Heather. Don't forget, 2 Grand Slam at 7:25. Coming up next, the first edition of Greg Palm, 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, it's going to be smoking hot today, and maybe you need yourself a nice ice-cold beverage from Founders Brewing. They've been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years. Their focus is always on using the highest quality ingredients, and you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that dedication in mind, their all-day IPA is crafted for every and any moment. It's easy drinking, refreshing, and flavorful. All-day IPA is the kind of IPA that's never out of place. So whether you're tailgating, and we've got some great ones coming up, grilling, hitting the beach, maybe you're at the golf course, or just kicking back, find yourself an all-day IPA. It's smooth, full of flavor, and endlessly crushable. It goes where the good times are, so look for all-day IPA at a store near you. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
I am looking forward to this because I don't think I've ever been here when we've had
for
Greg Palm.
Yes. Yeah. Now, Greg, you will need to. I didn't ask you too many questions because, as you explain it to me, I think you'll be able to explain it to our audience. How have you come up with these numbers with no active game data to work off of?
That's a great question, John.
Oh, three-pointer.
And yes, Greg Palm does not rely on guessing. Guessing is not in the nature of this thing. We need to find some data. So where can we find a projected win total for all 136 teams? Well, there's a city in the middle of the desert with a lot of tall buildings that we'll be visiting in August that generates a projected win total for each team.
Is that Carson City?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
We're talking, of course, about Las Vegas. We'll be at the D in August.
Yes.
But not all win totals are the same. There's a couple of things that are a factor that goes into a team's win total. It's how good they think the team's going to be, how tough their schedule's going to be, and then how can we fine-tune 8.5? Well, the payout's going to be different for each 8.5. Some teams, it's going to be an over is going to be minus 165. Others, over will be at a plus payout.
Okay.
So that's how we can kind of fine-tune the expected wins of each of these teams.
Okay, I get that. And so are you going to give us, what, the top 10, or are you going all 25?
Well, we're going to give you 12. Okay. Dozen is still the magic number here in college football. So I'm going to start. We're going to go 12 up to 1 because there is a little bit of a variation here, and I do expect there to be a lot of differentiation from what one would expect. So we're going to start. Number 12 is Ole Miss. They are comfortably in this number 12 spot. They got plenty of buffer for normalized data, which we're going to have here in the preseason between number 13 and number 11. We'll get to in a moment. A little note on them, College Football Nerds Delight in week 4. They're going to be hosting Tulane, who is the American Conference favorite, a return trip from a home-and-home that they started in 2023 when they went to New Orleans and got a big win there.
And Tulane has
the
new...
He just signed a quarterback,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Tulane's new quarterback, the quarterback from BYU.
Right, Retzlaff.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Number 11, we've got Boise State. Now, Ashton Gentry's in the NFL. If Boise is going to be typical Boise, they're going to have a two-game season. This year's version of last year's Oregon game is at Notre Dame. It's in week 6, a little bit later than Oregon was last year. Could be beneficial for both teams. Other game is in conference. It's UNLV. That's going to be in Boise. Remember last year, Ashton Gentry, fourth and goal run from the 1 yard line to give Boise State the win. Number 10, Miami of Florida. Now, this is an interesting case in the odds flipping. So they started at 8.5 as a win total, courtesy of FanDuel, of course. The odds got shorter and shorter for them until FanDuel flipped that number to 9.5 with a plus payout. So the big question for them, Cam Ward is out. Carson Beck is in at quarterback.
Hmm.
Is Carson Beck 100% healthy?
Is... In whether physically or mentally,
right.
I am curious as to will they be a double digit win team with him, because they lost a bunch at wide receiver as well. I think they lost their top 4 or 5 wide receivers along with obviously Cam Ward.
Number 9, Alabama. They're returning 8 defensive starters from last year's team, plus Ryan Williams, their electric freshman wide receiver, now a sophomore. He is back here as their top playmaker on the outside. Georgia, LSU, Tennessee in conference on the schedule, plus Florida State to open the season. So not a joke schedule that Bama's got here.
No, and didn't Alabama struggle to stop a very anemic offense in the bowl game?
Yes.
Yes, but they got those 8 returners on defense?
Right. It's the question, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Right.
Speaking of that bowl game, number 8, we got Michigan. This is another U of M and another flip from 8.5 to 9.5. Now, I know the haters out there will say, hey, Michigan garners a lot of bets in their favor. Like, it's the Michigan fan base propping this number up to 9.5, and I get that. Look, the schedule is relatively easy for them. outside of Ohio State, no games against teams with 8.5 win total or higher. No Indiana, no Illinois this season. Can they carry last year's end of season momentum? Did they find something? And of course, Bryce Underwood coming in at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven, Georgia Bulldogs. Interested to see them under Gunnar Stockton. Back to what they do best, maybe? Play better with an underappreciated quarterback who's not weighed down by humongous expectations about being a top five or top one NFL draft pick. Alabama, Tennessee, Texas, Ole Miss, all on the schedule for the Bulldogs.
Okay, Gunnar Stockton. It'll be interesting to see. Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked his toughness at the end of the season when he got drilled, knocked out, and still, you know, got up and said, "Give me more."
Is there an over-under on driving arrests in Athens?
Did you see that they had
a recruit
that had the same thing? Yeah, I think he'll fit in well.
All right, number six, we're going to the top half of these rankings, is Clemson. Maybe not so dead anymore. They rebounded well after that Georgia drubbing. Finished 10-4 when all was said and done. Remember, they won the ACC. They're the preseason favorites again this year. Cade Klubnik, he's a senior. He returns at quarterback, one of the favorites for the Heisman Trophy. Number five, Penn State. Now, they're a chic pick to be number one when the media polls and the coaches poll come out.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they still got a lot to prove. We thought last year was going to be the year that they beat Ohio State. Now they're playing at Columbus with a lot of defensive talent missing, like no Abdul Carter there. So they're going to have to find a way to replace him. They also play Oregon this year. Aller, Singleton, Allen, that backfield does return for them. Defensive coordinator Tom Allen is out. He's at Clemson, the aforementioned team. Jim Knowles is in from Ohio State.
It's going to be interesting. Sorry, Greg. It's going to be interesting because you talk about a team with a lot of talent that has come up short, whether it's James Franklin, it's Drew Allar. We've heard so much about how good he is supposed to be. Can he actually do that now that he's come back? Is this the next team that has everybody coming back for unfinished business?
Is Drew Allar the 2025 version of Christian Hackenberg?
That's a great question.
All right, to the top third here. Number four is Ohio State. Pains me to say the defending national champion. They've got a tough schedule. They've got Texas to open the season. Haven't mentioned them yet. Illinois, they're ranked 19th in Greg Pomp. Penn State, 5. At Michigan, 8. Julian Sain is in at quarterback. Jeremiah Smith, probably the best player in college football, is returning on the outside. Cale Downs is at safety. Out is Jack Sawyer, who we ripped but was a big leader for them.
Mm-hmm.
JT Tuimoloau. Will Howard is out. DC Jim Knowles, you mentioned him at Penn State. He has left. And in, remember, is our good friend Matt Patricia.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, their defensive coordinator. Yes.
Number three, Oregon Ducks. Now, without looking up, I couldn't tell you who is back from last year's Big Ten champions. They have only 5 returning starters. Now, some of the familiar names for them, wide receiver Evan Stewart, outside linebacker Mateo Uyunglele, 2 of the familiar names for them.
Mm-hmm.
Portal, they got a quarterback, Dante Moore, a couple years ago, who was at UCLA, the Detroit native, now will be starting for them. And Mekhi Hughes from Tulane, who was Tulane starting running back last year. He's now an Oregon Duck.
And that is the younger brother of DJ.
I'm sure.
The Big Cinco.
Yes.
Number two, we got the Texas Longhorns. Arch Manning gets the real test now. It's a much easier to play. Well, when you're the backup, you're holding down the four until your 5-star starter returns. Texas, we mentioned about the strength of them last year was the offensive line. 4 starters gone from that powerful offensive line, so they're going to have to replenish what they miss up front. Leading us to number one, everyone's favorite independent. I am going to get a call on the bat signal from Rob in Brighton. Is Notre Dame significant separation from number two? Their win total is 10.5. And look at their schedule. At Miami, they're 10th. Texas A&M, the return from the home and home last year. Texas A&M comes to South Bend. They're 25th. Boise State, 11. Navy, 22. At USC, 26. You know, that is, you know, we Stoney, I think you in particular rip on US or Notre Dame for, hey, playing a real conference. But
yes,
that does open them up to play some powerful and challenging non-conference games.
They have always had a pretty good they have had a pretty good schedule. I almost said non-conference.
Non-conference, yes.
Who were their quote-unquote ACC games this year?
Stanford, I think. No, I don't think Florida State's whatever. Coast Stanford team. Is, yes.
Yes.
Boston College, I know, has won. Miami, we just mentioned. Yes. And I think they've got two others. I think that the note for them is they play five of those games. Just a quick note on them. They're replacing Riley Leonard. He was clutch for Notre Dame. When they needed like 4 to 7 yards on third down, pick up a first down, move the chains. And with his legs, he was a big leader for them, so replacing him is a huge issue for Notre Dame.
Well, they got C.J. Carr, who's going to be their starter, Lloyd's grandson. And they still have, what, Jeremiah Love in the backfield, don't they?
They do, yes. Jeremiah Love, which I do believe they'll probably hand the ball off a lot. And I am excited. I mean, it's I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm a Notre Dame fan, but I am a huge C.J. Carr fan.
And one other note, I just reminded, remember last year during our picks, the Texas A&M game? Remember what you said about their offensive line? Freshman, sophomore, yes. Freshman, junior. Okay, they're all a year older now, a year more experienced.
Yep, sophomore left tackle who had a good season as a freshman, two redshirt juniors inside, a sophomore at right guard, and a redshirt junior at right tackle. That experience might just pay off for him this year.
All right, and that is the first edition of Greg Palm 2025.
Hey, summer is heating up, and there's nothing more refreshing than an ice-cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Made with real brewed tea and real vodka, Surfside is only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. That's right, no carbonation, so it's super easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Look for the can with the sunset stripes. Sold at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 6-1, they lose. The lead is down to 8 as Cleveland has won. Tigers not playing good. Hopefully they can turn it around quickly. Because Cleveland is playing really well. So they play Toronto at Comerica Park. First of 7 at home before the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And then they go to Philly, another team that's good. This is not going to be easy here. And we do have a Twitter poll out there, by the way. And the Twitter poll is, how far will the Tigers advance this year? We have 4 choices. Sorry, we don't have winning the World Series as one of them. Miss the playoffs, make the playoffs, reach the ALCS, or win the American League pennant, which means get to the World Series. So you can go to our Twitter page, Costa and Jansen with Heather, and make your vote. All right. We did the Greg Palm for college football. We had another college football question because media days going on right now in the Big Ten, in the Big Ten capital of the world, Las Vegas. Now, there's not a lot of things that I really agree with James Franklin on. I'm not a huge James Franklin fan, nor are you, John.
No.
But what he said yesterday was so accurate. He couldn't understand. He goes, having this here in Las Vegas is a joke. It's basically what he said.
Yep.
So we have beat writers, you know, from like small publications because they can't afford or their company can't afford to send them to Las Vegas for a few days. So he goes, a lot of our beat writers aren't even here. In Chicago, you walk around the hotel, there's players, people signing autographs. He goes, there's no, around, I think in Mandalay Bay is where they are. He goes, there's no like Big Ten, there's no signage, there's no buzz, there's nothing.
Then go see the shark exhibit. I say that jokingly because I've always like, I understand, okay, it's not even halfway, but it is somewhere in the middle for those West Coast teams now that the Big Ten is going coast to coast versus the East Coast teams. But there is no inherent fan base in Las Vegas for Big Ten football.
I guess they think maybe people aren't traveling to take their kids to Big Ten Media Day because they can't get in.
No, if you can, James Franklin, and I've been to Big Ten Media Days a number of times, as a player and in the media side of things or on the university side of things, mm-hmm. when you walk around the hotel or you walk around the city in Chicago, mm-hmm. there are people that will travel to Chicago for Big Ten Media Days because there's always a luncheon and that's, I don't know if they even have a luncheon at Big Ten Media Days anymore in Vegas because there are no fans that make that trip. And but when you walk around a hotel, you get a chance to see the players, and you may not know any face recognition for
right.
an offensive lineman from Nebraska is probably not high. But you see a guy walking around who's 6'6 and big, you're mm-hmm. like, okay, he must be a player. And then people would go up and talk to him. You walk around town, there's Big Ten fans there. They've got the banners up on the light post. I just don't understand why they did it. And if it's just simply because, oh, well, we don't want our West Coast teams to have to travel that far, well, tough. All right? You accepted them in. They accepted the invitation. They know what it's like to be a part of the Big Ten now. Everyone should be in Chicago. It should be a Midwest city. It's a Midwest conference.
It should. But even if you're going to go and, you know, appease the other side for a year, have it in L.A. That's where your teams, those two teams are.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I don't think you're ever going to have it in Eugene.
No.
But yeah, have it in L.A.
Yeah. All right. So it is Media Day, and both Jonathan Smith and Sharon Moore and some players will be speaking today. It's the last day of the three. You know, we're with what, 30 days away?
Today is 30 days. That's why we did Greg Palm.
Right.
Because we are 30 days away mm-hmm. from college football season, live college football. Michigan, Michigan State going to kick off the season. I don't know when Michigan State reports. It's got to be right around the same time.
It
might even be a day earlier because they play on that Friday night.
Correct.
So they report the 29th. I think Michigan reports the 30th of this month. And we'll be rocking and rolling. And everybody wants to know, what is Michigan State going to be this year?
Mm-hmm.
What is Michigan going to be this year? There's obviously a little bit more intrigue because you have the number one recruit. He's a quarterback. He's at Michigan. So there's a lot of questions. Is he going to be the starter? Is he not going to be the starter? The question we want to ask is, what's the swing game for both of these programs, especially early on in the season? Which one is a... You just find out about this team. And I think for Michigan, it's kind of an easy answer. It's Oklahoma.
I know that's going to be the common, that's going to be the theme. Of most people would suggest Oklahoma. It's on the road, historic program. They're good. They're not great. You'll be able to tell a lot of things. I get all that.
And so just to dig a little bit deeper into Oklahoma, I know Oklahoma didn't make the Greg Palm top 12.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a year for Brent Venables. This is his job.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't get to 9 wins, maybe even double digits, I don't know that he gets another year in Norman, Oklahoma. So what did he do? Their defense is going to be just fine. They're going to be a good defense. They got some athletes. They got speed defensively. But their quarterback, he went to Washington State and got John Mateer. You want to talk about a true dual threat quarterback. And I know that I wouldn't expect a whole lot of people here to have watched a lot of Washington State Cougar football right. last year. But this is a guy that threw for over 3,000 yards last year, over 65% completion percentage, and he rushed for almost 850 yards as well. And now he's not an imposing figure. I think he's mm-hmm. about 6 foot flat, and that might be with a pair of lifts on. But he is a dude that can air it out and can and pick up some things on the ground. And we all know at the NFL level, everybody's trying to figure out how to stop a mobile quarterback. Michigan has always struggled with stopping a dual threat mobile quarterback.
Going back decades, even when you played there.
Oh, yeah. Donovan McNabb. And I wouldn't even necessarily call him a dual threat quarterback. He was in the Big House.
Yes, he was.
And so, yeah, Michigan has struggled with stopping a dual threat quarterback. So that's why I think it's, for me, it's Oklahoma. It's going to be a freshman quarterback on the road, try to take on that environment. And you're not going to learn a lot against New Mexico.
No.
So what's your swing game if it's not Oklahoma?
For the University of Michigan, the Wolverine swing game, I'll tell you coming up next. Okay. 97 won the ticket.